The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I'd like to read to you from Ephesians, the second chapter. I know many of you could quote this, but if you have your Bibles, turn with me please there and we'll read. Ephesians, the second chapter. And the subject that I had on my heart to try to bring to you this morning is in regards to the love of God. I know we could talk about the love of God from now for the rest of our lives and never completely address it all. I believe we can look at some aspects of His love this morning that might renew in our hearts a fervor to serve Him. In verse 1 of Ephesians, the second chapter, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." We read here that God has a great love for us. And I've said this before, but I think part of the key to understanding a little bit about the love of God is first to understand that we do not think like God does most of the time. Now, we have the Spirit of God in our hearts that helps to teach us about Him, and we do understand some aspects of His nature. But the Scripture is very clear, is that His thoughts, we read in Isaiah the 55th chapter, are not our thoughts. He says, "My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways, and the heaven is from the earth." We read in Psalm the 50th chapter, and the Lord says that you, and I'm paraphrasing here, "You sometimes think that I am like you. But He said, let me reprove you. I am different than you are." And God's love is shed abroad toward us in a different way than we typically think about love ourselves. Now, the form of the word love that's used here is agape love. It is the kind of love that reaches out in an active way and takes hold of an object that is loved and blesses that object of its love. And that's the form of the Greek word that is used in the New Testament to describe God's love for us. There are different kinds of love mentioned in the Bible. We've discussed this before, I know. There's the phileo type love, brotherly love. There's eros, the erotic love that a man would have for a woman in a marriage relationship. But the kind of love God has for us is agape.
Right.
You see, our perception of love many times is of just a hopeful substance or a desire for something. You know, maybe a young man sees a young lady, doesn't even know her name, doesn't know what she likes, doesn't know her family, doesn't know anything about her, and yet he's smitten in his heart. And perhaps for weeks or months, the only thing he can think about is that young lady. She may not know he exists, and yet he loves her. That is a very different kind of love than the kind of love that God has for His bride, for His people, for His friends. God's love for us is an active, certain love. It never fails. It never changes. It never goes away. And Paul says here, "You hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Why did He do that? Why did God send His Spirit into your heart when you were dead in sins and give you spiritual life? For His great love wherewith He loved us. We sang this morning about the sweet rivers of redeeming love. And we read in Revelation that there is a river that comes directly from the throne of God. And I believe it comes down to us. You read in Psalms that it moves through the church of God and it gives us spiritual life and it blesses us when we meet together. The very Spirit of God is one manifestation of His love. And it is not something that is happenstance. The Lord sends that Spirit, being one with God, where He chooses for it to go. He said, "Well, Brother Neil, if God's love is manifested to us through His Spirit, how does He choose whom to send His Spirit to?" We read here that there are some people who are dead in their sins still, that walk by nature according to the course of this world. And we are separated from that because God in His love sent His Spirit to us. Well, if we back up to the first chapter of Ephesians, we read a little bit more about God's love. And I ask with you to back up with me to Ephesians, the first chapter, the third verse, you read this. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Agape love. Now, a man could say, I am in love with a woman. I am in love with my wife after 20 years. And I look to my in-laws, whose anniversary today represents 46 years of marriage, and I know they are still in love with one another. But the kind of love I have for my wife is not as strong as the love the Lord had for us. Because when the Lord looks at us and He sees us before Him someday in love, in His love, it's not like me being in love. If my wife were to sicken, God forbid, tomorrow, I can't save her. I can pray for her. I can mourn for her. But I am powerless to fight death in this life. The love of God, though, goes beyond that. It goes beyond place and beyond time and beyond death, even into eternity. We read here that the objects of the Lord's love, that is you and I, those who have been blessed to be born again by His Spirit, that love went beyond time. Before the foundation of the world, He was in love with you. And as a result of that, He chose you in Him to stand before Him someday in love. You see how much more powerful, though we only get a glimpse of it, how much more powerful that love would be than the love that we may have for one another. As strong and precious as it is, it is so much more than that. And He goes on, He didn't just choose us in Him because of His great love. In verse 5, He predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. You see, the love that God had for us before He even made this world caused Him to choose a vast multitude of people that no man can number to be His children, to be His bride, to be His friends. We read here that there are children by adoption. Now, some people might be offended by the idea that the Lord chose a people. That, you know, some people have a hard time wrapping their minds around that. The Lord tells us a little bit here, though, of what that looked like and what that would be like. Right. It would be like you perhaps being without children or just feeling a desire in your heart to have another child, to go to an orphanage somewhere perhaps. Yeah. And let's say there's 100 children there and you choose one and take them home. Thank God for you. Amen. Bless you for that. Amen. Would anybody dare criticize you for not taking home the other 99? No. And you know what the Lord did? He went to the orphanage when the orphans didn't love Him, didn't know He existed, right, rebelled against Him, and He took the 99, I believe. I don't know what the numbers were, but He took a bunch, okay? Could we criticize Him for that?
No way.
No, I don't think we could. In the 15th chapter of John, the 11th verse, the Lord says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Mm-hmm. Greater love. Again, agape love. The Lord loved His friends enough that He laid down His life for them. I don't criticize you for choosing your friends. Would you criticize me for choosing my friends? Especially were I to go to the point that I lay down my life for those friends. Amen. I hope you wouldn't criticize me for that. We also read that the objects of the Lord's love are part of the bride of Christ. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 25th verse, we say, read, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Another picture of God's love. He likens it to the love between the husband and the wife. Would you criticize me for choosing Amy to be my wife and for Amy choosing me to be her husband? I hope you wouldn't. I wouldn't criticize your choice. Does the Lord have a right to make the choice of a bride that He will spend eternity with?
Amen.
Yes. You choose your friends. You've chosen your spouse. If you've adopted, you chose that child. There are a lot of children in the world without parents. You chose that child. We've all seen these pictures. These are pictures of God's love to us. And remember, the Lord presents His love to us in such a way that it is not fickle. It is not just a thought or a maybe or a hope that something would get done. The Lord said, I have secured you. I have chosen you. And He goes on down in verse 7 to tell us this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So how has the Lord manifested His love to us? He chose us. He chose us like an adopted child. He chose us like a spouse. He chose us as his friends. And then he went to the cross and paid for us by shedding his blood. We who were dead in trespasses and sins then received the blessed Spirit of God in our hearts, sovereignly by God when it was in his time, in his manner. He sent that to us. Why? Because he loved us. Now, I know that there are folks in other religious orders today who present that love in light of the way they see man's love. And that is, they look at it this way. The Lord loved everybody, but no one has a certain home in heaven unless they have been led to do certain things to secure that home. In other words, you have to do something to be a recipient of this love. See, that puts love in the hands of chance or in the hands of men. God's love is not like that.
Amen.
If your home in heaven depended upon me coming up here and standing before you and doing a good enough job to convince you to do something to become an object of God's love, then what is God's love? Is it certain then? Or is it dependent upon me or Brother Tim or Brother Luke or one of these other brothers? Worse still, some folks wouldn't like the idea that God chose the objects of his love, but they're okay with a man choosing where to go and preach and bring that love. If the love of God in bringing his children into an eternal home is dependent upon the efforts of men, what happens when the man is lazy? Or when the man is sick? Or when the man just rather be at church A than church B, and he doesn't go witness to the person he's supposed to, and that person dies, are they going to spend eternity in hell? No. If they are an object of God's love, again, God's love is not like my love. I have a wonderful relationship with my wife. I love her, and I hope if it came to a point necessary, I would die for her. But you know, I could have missed out on her. What if I hadn't asked her to marry me? What if I had been stubborn and let her pass by? I could have missed out on the relationship that we have. Let me tell you though, you're not going to miss out on the eternal love that God has shed abroad for you because of anything that I've messed up, or of any deficiency on the part of Brother Tim, as much as I love him, or on the deficiency of any other minister, because God made his love sure. And he made certain and his eternal plan of salvation that every single one of the object of his love were not only chosen him before the foundation of the world, they were redeemed by Jesus Christ on the cross, and he sends that sweet river of redeeming love into their hearts while they walk in this life. And that is the done deal, you might say, for God's love. Amen. In an eternal sense. Then you might say, well, Brother Neil, if the Lord loved me that much, why doesn't he take care of every problem I have here and fix every need I have here and take care of every pain I have here? That's a legitimate question. If the Lord loved you enough to make absolutely certain that you would be with him in heaven someday, why doesn't he fix every ache, every difficulty, every problem you have here? That is a question that mankind struggles with. And I'm not going to tell you I have all the answers. But I have a few thoughts. One is that God is a loving father to us. We're his adopted children. And I know my father didn't give me everything I wanted growing up. You know why? Because he wanted me to learn how to work. He wanted me to learn some self-discipline. He wanted me to learn how to stand on my own 2 feet, because I think he knew someday I'd have a family and I'd have to go out there every day and make a living for him. Your heavenly father knows what you need. And what you don't need is every single thing that you want. Sometimes God does allow some things to come into my life that have caused me some pain in a physical way and an emotional way, because I think he knew I needed that at the time. But you know what? He's so good to do. When those times of distress and we bow our heads and we cry out to him, I know he hears us. And there have been many, many times, and I know you've experienced this, and life is not all about my experiences, but I just share them with you just to give you some idea of how I feel about the love of God. I know you've probably felt this way. There have been some times I've laid there at night in pain and just begged the Lord, would you please send one of your angels to help me through this? Could I feel the Spirit one more time? And I could feel those sweet rivers of redeeming love wash across my soul one more time. Amen. And wake up a couple hours later and know that I got a couple hours of relief in this life that I didn't deserve. Why? Because of His love. Does He give me everything I want? No, not here. But when I pass across that river Jordan, I'm going to have everything I've ever desired. Amen. Everything I've ever wanted. No more pain, no more suffering. Why? Because of the great love of Christ that knows no bounds and knows no barrier towards His children. They're going to be with Him, you see. And sometimes the afflictions of this life, though they're difficult and though they're hard and though they bring me pain, and I have wondered before, Lord, if You love me, why didn't You just fix this? And you know what the Lord said to me? Sometimes in those times, well, son, if I gave You everything You wanted here, why would You want to come and see me? You know, sometimes when we don't have everything we want or everything we need, sometimes when we see our loved ones hurt, you know what it makes me want to do? It just makes me want to be that much closer to Him. And it makes me look at this life and see it is so much less. When I was younger, I just saw life as everything. If I could just get my spouse, if I could just get a good job, if I could just have the home I wanted, if I could just get that big deer that I wanted. Oh, I look at those things now and I think, oh yeah, they're enjoyable. And I have loved those things. But what are they to eternity with my Savior? Nothing.
Amen.
And I will lose every single one of those things before I leave here.
True.
Not to be irreligious here, but you all heard that old song Hank Williams wrote many years ago. No matter how I struggle and try, I'll never get out of this world alive. You see, for me to finally see my Savior who chose me, bled for me, sent His Spirit to worthless me when I was dead in my trespasses and sin and cared nothing about Him and gave me spiritual life to see Him, I'm going to have to leave here. Which means I'm going to have to die someday if He doesn't return very soon. You're going to have to die someday if He doesn't return very soon. Let's try not to focus on that. Let's try to look at the love that assured us when that time comes that we're going to have everything we ever longed for in eternity. But He hasn't left us without His love here either. John 3:16, we read this. I know most of us could quote this, of course. Third chapter, John, the 16th verse. For God so loved, agape love again. All these verses of love, no greater love, a greater love hath no man than this, the man will lay down his life for his friends, agape love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, agape love. But God, for His great love wherewith He loved us, agape love, active love, not passive love, not sitting back and saying, oh, I hope they'll be mine. Oh, I hope I'll see them someday. But love where God reached out His strong arm to us and said, that one's mine, I'm taking them home someday. That kind of agape love is the same kind of love we read about here. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Who does that world encompass? If I told you today the world is just worthless, the world has gone away, the world is just going to the bad place in a handbasket, you would know I don't mean every single person in the world, right? Because I don't mean you. I mean, there are good people around who are good folks. And we read the word world in the Scripture. We read the word all in the Scripture. We need to make sure we know who it applies to. If I said, when church is over, we're all going to go over to the lunchroom and eat lunch, I don't mean everybody in Tuscaloosa County. I mean all of y'all, right? When the Lord said, God so loved the world, He's referring to a specific world. This is the Savior talking. In a very short time following this, He will go to the cross and He will pray in the 17th chapter of John before He goes, oh Lord, You have given me power over all flesh and I shall give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given me. Who's He talking about here? This is the world of His children. And He prayed, they are in the world still. You are still in the world today, an object of His love. Chosen, redeemed, born again. You still got to walk through this world. And what has He done for you here that you might experience the everlasting, eternal life of God here in your day-to-day life? He sent His Son to die for you. And while His Son was here, praise and bless His dear Son, the Savior, He told us all about it.
Amen.
And listen, for everyone that believes, listen, that is a signature stamp and seal on your heart that you are an object of His love.
Amen.
And that you are part of that world that He came to save. that vast multitude of people that no man can number. I wish I could keep telling you about the love of God the rest of my life. But Brother Timothy's going to come in a minute and tell you something about some of it. And I'm going to move out of the way for him. Plus, I would pass out up here if I tried to keep preaching that long. I'd like to read you the words of a song that came to my mind as I was studying this earlier this morning. It's called The Love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. There's some hell on this earth. It doesn't hold the love of God. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. That's you and I. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, you know, your earthly throne here will fall. Your kingdom will fall. Your household will fall. Yeah. We're passing away.
Right.
I'm not tempting the Lord, but thank God we are. I'm glad I'm not like Adam to live 930 years and see my great, 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 great grandchildren for 20 generations live to fall into sin and to hurt one another and murder one another. I'm not wanting to leave here today. I've got a family, Lord. I hope the Lord will help me get them raised. But let me tell you, I wouldn't want to be here for 1,000 years, would you?
No.
Think about people back then that lived 1,000 years almost. They saw all of the death and the destruction and the misery. Let me tell you, the love of God takes you from this place.
Amen.
At some point. That is part of his love.
Right.
When men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure in all measureless and strong, redeeming love from heaven above, the saints and angels' song. Pay attention to this last verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. If the sky were paper, and every stick out there in the woods was a pen, and the ocean were ink, to write the love of God would drain it dry. Would drain it dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I shared this with you one time we were singing this song. Last verse of that song, as the author of this was searching for a verse to put into this song, was given a little inscription on a piece of paper that had been copied from the wall of an insane asylum after the poor lunatic that died in that cell was carried off to a pauper's grave. Someone came in the cell to clean it up, and these words are written on the wall. It's the translation from Hebrew of an old Jewish poem. You know, and it thrills my heart to know that the love of God could reach into the cell of an insane person who was so far gone they couldn't live in society with everybody else. And yet there in the darkness of that cell, as their heart cried out to their Savior, the love of God was manifest. It breaks through prison walls, jail cells,
yes,
tormented minds.
Amen.
The mind of the mentally challenged, the insane. Thank God, the mind of the lustful man that walks on this earth.
Yes.
The love of God is not bound by those things.
Amen.
The love of God is sure.
Yes.
And as surely as the love of God could reach into the cell of an insane individual who died in their lunacy, and cause them to have the heart to be able to write those beautiful lines for us. Don't you think the love of God will take care of His children?
Amen.
Wherever they are?
Amen.
It will. The love of God is sure. The love of God is steadfast. There's no dementia. There's no insanity. There's any challenge for the love of God. You may leave this life in a car wreck. You may leave this life in a nursing home. You may leave this life when cancer overtakes you, or whatever that malady may be. I believe with all my heart, child of God, the love of God will bear your spirit to His bosom. Let me tell you, if you've ever been frustrated by the doctrine of election, redemption, the sovereign power of God in giving His children life, just understand that that is the mechanism by which God brings His love to us.
Amen.
It's precious. And no man, including you and I, ever get in the way. Thank you for your time. I love you.